coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, it's amazing how things work out, right? It really is. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, October 27th, 2021. Originally scheduled Dr. Richard Proctor for today, not going to be on today. The reason, of course, multiple reasons, including but not limited to things happening here with our studio. Hang on. We've got a very special treat for you. You know, right now, the headlines are dire, aren't they? You've got, the communist takeover, America being a captured operation, captured from within, thousands of New York City firemen, police officers defying these unconstitutional and illegal vaccine, in quotation, mandates. Yet the media is downplaying the numbers. You've got the vaccination numbers going, the injuries of the jab. I can't even call it a vaccine. And you know, folks, it's not the numbers being downplayed, underreported, the injuries, the deaths, the fact that you've got, tests being done by medical doctors and doctors, who have degrees in science, you know, follow the science, testing the hemoglobin reaction to the jab. All right. These are all dire headlines of today. And a lot of times here in the United States, we are very American centric, aren't we? We're looking at what's going on in our lives as, you know, as it's normal to do that. But what about the bigger picture? What about the global picture? And I'm not just talking about the jab. I'm talking about the drums of war. And how does that all fit together with scripture? Because at our core, at the epicenter of this program, are we not a Christian broadcast? Are we not fighting evil? I mean, sure, we're fighting communism and global, but are we not fighting evil? You know, when I first sat down at this microphone, well, not this microphone, but a microphone, I didn't have any. Look, this is not my job. I'm an investigator. I go out and investigate things, but somehow I'm here. And somehow through the years, Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com, the link is going to be in today's episode description box, became my pastor and the pastor, and really, I like to call him America's pastor because he tells it like it is. And he's not out there for any kind of human prize. He's just telling it like it is. Well, as things go, Pastor Langford has his finger on the pulse of world events as they relate to prophecy. And as God guides all of us in our daily lives, has found in an informational asset, and I use that term deliberately, an on-the-ground individual in Taiwan. Because what are we facing right now? Can you hear the drums of war beating right now? Are the drums of war beating? And we're just not hearing them? What's going on in the South China Sea? What's going on with Taiwan and China? What's going on internationally? And how does that relate to the Word of God and Scripture? Well, the person to really lay this all out, of course, is Pastor David Langford. And we have a special, special, special guest with us, Chris from Taiwan, boots on the ground in Taiwan. And no, you're not going to see his picture. No, we're not going to do that. Because the communications between us and Chris and Pastor Langford, and look, folks, we're being monitored. You know that. But let's not make it easy for him. Now, Having said all of that, it is my distinct honor and pleasure today, although we, again, it's kind of a sideways events today, but all that said, it's my distinct honor and pleasure to introduce Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com. And from there, he will lead the program as with Chris from Taiwan and giving you the information that you need to understand what is really happening, and why you should be paying attention. Pastor Langford, thank you so very much for coming on.
Doug, thank you so much for allowing the both of us to come on today. And I do want to thank you for the diligent work that you do. And I'm humbled by your grace that you give to us and the platform that you afford us to minister the Word of God and the truth. I respect you highly that you do not allow Christianity to affect you. Say, well, I got to be careful. I can't afford to have people like you on the program. But you are a shining light, a beacon in a very dark and listless and lifeless world. And I thank you for your efforts, because there's a reward for all of us as we stay diligent in the kingdom of God. And I know a lot of people are profusely discouraged. And I know many times the devil tries to discourage you as an individual with circumstances and what transpired with Russ Dizdard. The devil has a way of encroaching all of us. I was thinking the other day, because Jimmy D. Smith called me and he counseled on me, and then Russ, and I was thinking 2 weeks after the conference would have closed, the meeting, October the 3rd, Russ passed away. God knows all things, and I've learned to just walk quietly and patiently with the Lord and let him do what he wants to do. The meeting in Fort Mill may have done something even more severe to us. I don't know. But, God has a plan for all of us, and it's up to us to seek the face of God, not his hand. People seek his hand. When you seek God's hand, you want him to blow a whistle, turn a screw, do something for you personally. But when we seek his face, that's desirous to be in his presence and to be intimate with him and have fellowship with him and sense the Holy Spirit as he permeates our hearts and edifies and builds us up. And that's what we need right now. We don't need God to do this. We don't need God to do that. We need to be close to God. God's going to do what he's going to do. He already sent Moses in there to deal with Pharaoh. And God's getting ready to do something, and we all know it. It's just trying to discern what is he about to do. And so a few weeks ago, Chris in Taiwan contacted me, a dear friend, a brother, who has supported and loved this ministry for, I want to say, probably 20 years. And he just sensed a need to share from his perspective, being there in Taiwan, which, by the way, it's midnight, basically, well, actually 4 o'clock in the, 7 o'clock in the morning when you're hearing this for him. But he's here today to share with us what's taking place in Taiwan and China and what's going on in the world. And this is going to hopefully give a lot of us great insight. We all know that China has got their thumb on the entirety of the world, and they desire to be the dominant superpower. And powers do transfer. The sun never set on England. America became the super world power. And now the power is gravitating toward the Far East. And that lines up with Revelation chapter 16, where the Euphrates River will dry up and it will prepare the way for the kings of the East. And these things are coming. And so it's our job to understand the times, to know the times, to know where we are, and walk as closely as we can with Christ, so that when things happen, and things are about to happen, they're about to happen in a great way, you're not going to be so disturbed that you lose your place and posture in Christ. You remain steadfast. You remain unmovable. You continue to go forward in Christ, and you don't love your life so much that you're not willing to die for Christ. That's what it means there in Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. They were not so fixed on themselves that they are not willing to give their lives, if that's what it means, to finish in the race. So, Chris, thank you for coming on. And again, Doug, thank you for giving us this opportunity. And, Chris, I'm just going to turn it over to you and let you begin where you want to, and maybe ever so often, maybe Doug and I may be afforded an opportunity to ask you a question concerning what's taking place over there in the middle of the Far East. So I'm going to give it to you now, Chris.
Well, thank you. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And folks, I just want to just interject one thing here. This is an exclusive audio-only report, obviously. You know, Chris is coming to us at great inconvenience, as well as some danger here. So we're not going to be, thank you folks for understanding this, and please give Chris your undivided attention. Thank you, Chris.
Well, I appreciate that, Doug. The truth is that if there's anyone out there to be apprehensive of, me not giving my last name is useless. My history, my involvements, I'm entirely exposed, and I do have active enemies, and they do actively come against me. So I'm just hedging myself against the low-level people. But the way I want to do this is, can I say a few things to you first, Doug, about how I know about you and how I know about Pastor David, and just the general history of my involvement with this whole with you and Langford and Steve Quayle. Can I just put out a few things, because I think it would be of interest.
The floor is yours, and unfiltered, unvetted. The floor, I mean, unencumbered. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was brought to Taiwan as part of a certain set of operations that we could talk about another time. And I was not a Christian. I was raised Catholic. I strayed from the faith. And then after a certain period of time here, I began to go through certain things, and I began to research what we, a decade ago or more, were calling the Illuminati. And I began to see things in that research that matched up with things that I were going through. I was going through, and I began to write articles for Dr. Henry Macau. And you know of Dr. Henry Macau, right?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yes. And in fact, it was I was the one who directed Dr. Macau to Ted Brewer. And that's how they got to know each other. But Macau was publishing my articles, and then he told me, Quayle picked up one of your articles. I said, who the heck is Quayle? And he said, well, this guy's Steve Quayle. So I went to Steve Quayle, and then I found out he was talking about all the stuff I was interested in. And then I started listening to your show, because you would have Steve Quayle on your show. But I was not a Christian. And Steve would come on, and he would talk about the giants and all this stuff, and then he would start talking about Jesus. And then I would start screaming at my screaming at my iPad, stop talking about Jesus. I want to know about the giants. And this went on for months and months and months. And then finally, one night, I was listening to your show with Steve, and Steve was talking about Jesus, and I was busy washing dishes, and I just couldn't get to my iPad to fast forward to the giant part. And Steve was just going on and on and on about Jesus. And then I don't remember even what he was saying before this, but suddenly he said, there's power in the name of Jesus. And I was seized by the power of God, and I'm getting tingles all over my body. Every time I talk about this, this happens. An angel of the Lord standing over my right shoulder, I'm not kidding, spoke right into my ear and said, you know it's true. And that's how God brought me back into the fold. And from then on, it was just crazy. I mean, I got to know Brother Marcus. I got to know Chance Sione. I got to know Pastor Langford. It all just went from there. But it came through your show, and it came through Steve, and it came through Pastor Langford. And that's how God turned my life upside down.
Wow. That's incredible. Pastor, you know, you and I often speak, the impact that we have that we don't really realize. You know, we're in, I think, 168 countries, 170 countries right now, folks. And I hear from people all from Taiwan to Australia to, you name it. I hear from people all over the place, but you know, it's because of, it's God's hand. I didn't do this. I did not build this. You know, I did not, it's God. So Pastor, fantastic, foundation for what's to come here.
Before we proceed, Doug, I really, really want to ask you one question, and I hope you don't mind. Okay. It's not pertinent to what we're talking about, but I just need an answer to this question.
Sure.
Even before Jesus saved me, brought me back into the fold, you used to have a caller called Michael.
Yes.
Did he ever show himself? Because there was a period of time where I fell away, and I don't mean fall away in the sinful sense, but I wasn't able to listen to your show for a few years. I've always wondered, did he ever follow up?
It is my understanding, and this, by the way, folks, this is not scripted, okay? So I had no idea what this question was coming at me, but not to me, but I do believe that he is active with Pastor Paul Begley. And frankly, I don't know the relationship that they have. So I don't know if he has ever, if he ever identified himself fully. I just don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but to me, and this is just me, no. And you know, you make a good point too. I just want to toss this out there because I've gotten numerous emails. You know, folks, when we don't have people on the show, for example, if people, I'll use Randy Taylor as an example. I got just hundreds of emails saying, well, you know, you're saying Randy Taylor, you don't talk about Randy Taylor anymore. All right. Folks, it's not some sort of, life happens. You know, it's not, he's a part of my personal life in terms of he's a friend. He's, but you know what? Sometimes people, their schedules are such that they can't come on. And again, Chris from Taiwan is inconveniencing himself because of the time difference. So understand, folks, if we don't have, for example, for Michael, it's not because there's any issues. It's just because of scheduling or personal issues that they or we have that are in place of people coming on. But hopefully, Chris, that answers your question.
Yes, it was a burning question. I'm sorry. I just had to ask because I used to listen to his shows over and over again. All right, let's get to the point. Taiwan, I need to ask you, Doug, and I need to ask you, Pastor Langford, what would be the starting point that you want to hear about? Do you want to go into the history? Do you want to focus on the culture right now? Do you want to focus on the military situation? Which starting point to your mind would be of the greatest interest? Because we could start at any one of those points.
I would like to look at the military situation. I've heard rumor that the U.S. may have given Taiwan some mini nuclear weapons. Don't know if that's true or not, but we all know there's a lot of talk about conflagration and war, you know, et cetera. And that's where I'd like to start, Doug. I'll leave it up to you. It's your program.
Yeah, you know, I think the burning issue among the listeners, Chris, and again, we're talking with Chris from Taiwan and Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism. The links to Pastor Langford's website will be in the program description box. But I think the bottom line are people are very nervous, at least people who are paying attention, about the military situation and perhaps the start of a war that perhaps the U.S. and Western countries might become involved. So go ahead. That's a great place to start.
Pastor Langford, I am fixated by what you just said because – Can you give me or give us more direction concerning what you just said about Taiwan having mini nuclear weapons? Where did that information come from? Are you able to say that?
I read that off of Newsmax several weeks ago.
Really?
And that's the purported apprehension of China getting involved. And I think we all are, we understand enough about wars that Japan, South Korea, the Philippines, this will all go hot in just a matter of days, and then probably involving Iran and, of course, China, Philippines, Australia, and the submarine deal that's been going on with Europe and Australia. So I just figure this may be the pretext for the Third World War that Albert Pike spoke of, and everybody's going to choose their sides. But this purportedly was given to Taiwan to deter China with their aggressiveness, but I can't confirm that it is true.
Well, my assessment, based on what I know, is that it's probably not, but I can't discount it. There are so many variables here. This whole thing has been a setup. And I'll give a rundown of the current military situation. Then I think we need to go into a little bit of history. The current situation, and Doug, did you see the article that I forwarded and Pastor Langford, which is why is Taiwan not preparing for war? Did you see that?
Yes.
I did not see that.
Yes.
Okay. I think I did forward it to you. Sorry. Pastor Langford, but maybe you didn't see it.
Folks, the article you're referencing, you can see on your screen right now for those watching on Rumble or Brighteon. What's preventing Taiwan from preparing for potential war? This is an article by Michael Y-E-O, however you pronounce that, in Defense News, defensenews.com. Go ahead, Chris.
They're not preparing. When I first came to Taiwan almost 20 years ago, the military conscription service length of time for all males of military capability was about 18 months. And it was whittled down until now it's 4 months where they can either actually, go and do some jumping jacks for 4 months or sit behind a desk. They're not preparing. And okay, let's divide the preparations into two parts. You got the military preparation, you got the non-military preparation. When it comes to the military preparation, the reason why Taiwan ostensibly is not preparing is because China has made it very clear, if you do any significant military preparation, we will invade immediately. However, during the presidency, which extends into the current period, in my opinion, of Donald Trump, they had every freedom to go ahead full bore with conscription, calling up reserves, all kinds of things. We'll get into that. They had every opportunity to do that, and they didn't do it. In fact, they pulled back and pulled back. Now let's look at the non-military preparations. Let me put this question out there just to you and Pastor Langford. Give me your sensible answer. How would a country which knows, they know, it's not a question of if, how would a country prepare non-militarily for imminent invasion?
I'll take that question first. Economically, I would suspect. I mean, all wars are bankers' wars, in my view, especially when you're talking about the grander scheme with respect to the Illuminati. So it would be an economic type of, preparations. Pastor, go ahead and answer that if you want.
I would suppose maybe communications, because that's one of the most vulnerable assets. And you need that to, if you're going to have any kind of self-defense communications of some sort. I just don't know. So what you're saying is they're not doing anything. What we're hearing and seeing and reading is really fake news. Is that what you're saying, Chris?
No, what I'm saying is if you look at the show notes that I sent to you, I have comparisons of the situation in Taiwan with those of the UK and other nations prior to World War II, as well as the military build-up history of Israel. And if you just look at the United Kingdom and how they prepared for war with Germany, now, I couldn't put as much in the show notes as I wanted to. It's not important why. But they are like Taiwan. They are an island country. They do not want to be invaded. When they were facing the imminent threat of the German invasion, they instituted all kinds of programs. They issued paper pamphlets to every single household, telling them this is what's coming, this is what to expect, this is how to prepare, this is what we want you to do, this is what we're going to provide. And then there, you can go online and look at, you know, English pamphlets UK pamphlets preparing for World War II. There was a public education campaign preparing everybody for war. They haven't done that here. There was also a very, very concentrated and concerted campaign, program to double, triple, or even quadruple domestic agricultural production, because they knew that Germany was going to blockade them.
So you're saying that Taiwan is doing nothing. So
nothing.
It sounds as though you're just going to capitulate, surrender.
We're going to get to that.
Okay.
We're going to get to that. Yes, you reach the logical conclusion in the shortest possible time. You draw a straight line, you come to the shortest possible conclusion. Now, when it comes to the military preparations, again, China has long, you know, held this threat over Taiwan. Like, if you do anything significant militarily, you know, we're going to invade immediately. And that's BS. Because they haven't. And Taiwan has acquired over the years. I've been here for almost 20 years. They've been acquiring and acquiring and acquiring more and more weapons, bombs, planes. But they've cut down their actual military forces to basically a joke. And I want to tell people out there, when you go and read reports of the status of Taiwan's military readiness, you will see these optimistic reports like China coming in will face these fierce beachhead obstacles and all kinds of missile systems, and that is all true. But if they try to invade the island, they will face 500,000, you know, fully trained reserves. No, they won't. How do I know that? Because I've had clients who have served in the military here, and they've told me they spent more time trying to mollycoddle, pussified. I don't know. Can I say that on the show?
You just did, sir. That's fine.
All right. Mama's boys who cannot deal with the fact that they have to comply with direct orders from another guy than actually doing serious training. And in fact, the problem was so widespread. It was so, what's the word I'm looking for? It was so insidious that they finally gave up. They'd culturally killed themselves in terms of military readiness. And they said, all right, we're only going to take voluntary conscripts. And not the conscript is the wrong word. Voluntary members of the military. We only want guys who want to come in here, kick ass, and kill people. So they have now an army of an active army of about 175,000. And those 500,000, quote, fully trained reserves are all those mama's boys that they finally gave up on. They're not doing what a tiny threatened island would do with massive economic power could do. Taiwan, listen, they're about 200 nations on the face of the earth. Taiwan's economy is in the top 25. Now, I put the Israel-Taiwan comparison in there because if you look at what Israel has done compared to what Taiwan has done with a comparatively much smaller population, much smaller GDP, official, of course, Taiwan could be three times the badass that Israel is, and they never did it. Why? Well, we'd have to get into the history of how China, modern China and Taiwan came to be.
Let me ask
now, I'm going to stop. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Is China, if they were to just seize Taiwan without a battle, would probably be, what, a $1 trillion bump in their economy if they could do that without war? How advantageous would it be just to go in there and take over Taiwan? What would it do for China's status in the world economy right now?
Well, it would have to do with assets and production. You know, there's nowhere in the world you can go to except Taiwan right now. You know, in the open commercial market for anyone to obtain the kind of high grade computer chips that Taiwan produces. There's nowhere you can go. Taiwan is the place. And that's deliberate. That's one of the flashpoints. That's what makes Taiwan so critical to global, in terms of, its place. Look, when I first came here to Taiwan, I asked students and clients that I have here, are you afraid of a Chinese invasion? And they would say no. I would say why? And they say because we have a Silicon Shield. That was the term that was being tossed around. Like, we don't have anything to worry about. We're the producer of the world's top chips. We got nothing to worry about. We got a Silicon Shield. Well, that's what China wants. China wants control of that production, because if China gets control of that that industry, there's no other place in the world that's producing what they produce. So it's not like an immediate. And what is the GDP of Taiwan? I'm sorry.
1.2 trillion. 1.2 trillion GDP. I could be wrong on that, but, you know.
So no. That's Taiwan. I mean China? China is 25 trillion.
Correct. Right. In 2018.
So yeah, that's right. So 2019. So Taiwan's contribution to that in terms of GDP is not that great, but there's, you can't just look at those numbers are PPP numbers. That's purchasing power parity numbers. It's not like the industry wide numbers. It's not the eventual play out numbers. I think we need to pull back from that question and go back to other issues right now. I'm sorry, my mind is going in a number of different directions right now. Doug, do you have a centering question you can ask me?
Well, if we can just kind of, I know you want to basically redirect, but you make a good point. Okay, here's and Pastor, here's my situation. What I've seen in the last 12 months, 12 to 18 months, but especially over the last several months, most Americans can't, I'm sure, not, I shouldn't say most, many Americans cannot find Taiwan on a map. Many Americans are like glued to the network news and, you know, all of this, you know, what's going on with China and Taiwan, the South China Sea, you know, the artificial islands, the shipping, what happened with the sub over there, you know, but you raised a point about China, or about Taiwan being this, or having this Silicon Shield. Chips are made there, computer chips, very important things for our military industrial complex. So, but you also said China wants that. So, so you make some great points here. in terms of, you know, where we're at. But you also said one thing, and I'm going to kind of, if with your permission, Pastor, I kind of want to drill down on this. You said this, the chip making process, especially for, again, the military industrial complex of the West, not just U.S., you said it was deliberate. It was deliberate. It was outsourcing to Taiwan for manufacturing. It was deliberate. If you can just expand on that, who made that decision? Why did they make that decision? Why Taiwan and not, I don't know, Canada? Okay. Pastor, is that all right? I mean,
What do you mean Canada?
I'm just saying, you know, why Taiwan as opposed to, I don't know, South Africa, Canada? Any place, or Alabama, you know, I mean, why Taiwan?
Now we're getting to the point. Let's go back in time and look at what happened. how was modern China founded? What happened? How was modern Taiwan founded? What happened? What happened was you had imperial, and I'm going to try to streamline this as much as I can for the sake of time. In China, mainland China, you had a long, long thousands of years history of warlords, then imperial powers, and then for a long period of time, China was ruled and controlled by entities from Mongolia, and it was those the Qing dynasty from Mongolia bucking up against Japanese invasion. And then, again, I'm really, really streamlining this and dumbing it down. I don't mean that as an insult to the audience. I'm just trying to run through tons of information quickly. And then, you know, Japan invaded China. You had the fall of the Qing dynasty. You got chaos in China. And then you had the emergence of Chiang Kai-shek. Are you familiar, either of you, with that name?
Oh, of course. Pastor, I'm sure you are as well. Yeah, Chiang Kai-shek was back in the 70s, right? Or the 60s and 70s, or I'm sorry, further back than that, but you get the idea, folks. I mean, yes, go ahead. I'm not going to get in your way here. Go ahead.
Well, Chiang Kai-shek was, he was a wild card, and he took up, he worked his way up through the ranks of the Chinese Nationalist Party and military, and he received training in Moscow. He received training in what was the other place? Did he go to Germany? No. Anyway, he was willing to try anything in order to hold power, defeat the Japanese, and basically create a new empire in China.
Yeah.
In the meantime,
I think what you're getting at, and this is important, I apologize when I said 60s, 70s, it was back pre-World War II where Chiang Kai-shek came into power and he consolidated the power. He consolidated and kind of like the infrastructure of the globalists where everyone wants to consolidate power into a choke point. That's what Chiang Kai-shek did, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, fair to say.
All right, go ahead.
And then at the same time, you had this other guy, Mao Zedong, who was affiliated through various organizations, Yale University. They had a campus in China, and Mao Zedong actually served as the chairman of that institution, Yale, in Taiwan. So he had connections to all the Masonic connections. We get in here to the Masonic connections.
If you don't mind, okay, Chris. So, and Pastor, feel free to jump in here. So, you mentioned Yale in Did you say Yale in Taiwan or Yale in China?
I'm sorry. Yale in China, of course.
Yale in China. Okay. So
yes.
Most people will say, huh? Because I thought Yale was over here, you know, in the West. So what do you mean by Yale in China?
Well, Yale University established campuses in many places. They established a campus in Taiwan and Mao Zedong, who became the leader of the Maoist Marxist Communist movement, which eventually took over China. He was chairman with them. He was backed by them. Here's what, look, I'm going to lay it out.
Please. Hang on, Chris. Just so people know. Yeah. So the birth of the Maoist Marxist movement here in the West originated in China during the tenure and lifespan and the initiative of Chiang Kai-shek, Mao Zedong, those people who were steeped in the communist aspect, which, by the way, is overlapped into what is known as the Illuminati, references the Illuminati, but the Satanist kind of the satanic realm of what we're seeing today of this globalist whole thing originated over there, right? That's what you're saying. And go ahead. I won't interrupt anymore.
No, you got it. So let me lay it out. Mao had Masonic connections. That is, he had Western banking backing. He had Western banking training. He had Western support. And what they did was they told him, look, we want you to head up the new China. We want you to pull everything to pieces. We want you to rule over this. We want you to keep it suppressed, create chaos, kill a bunch of people, and you'll have all the money you want, all the power you want, all the girls you want, and you'll be the ruler of China. Then go over to Chiang Kai-shek. And they told him, look, go over to Taiwan, take all your forces over there. You'll have all the money you want, all the girls you want, all the power you want, and you'll rule in Taiwan. That's what they did. Taiwan was a setup. It's always been a setup. Now, if you look at China today and Taiwan today, Masonry and Freemasonry are banned in China. They are not banned in Taiwan. It's no difficult task to find out that the son, the biological son of Chiang Kai-shek, was an enthusiastic member of Freemasonic orders. I actually personally taught at a school in Taipei where there's a bust and a plaque of Chiang Kai-shek's son, which declares his Freemasonic connections and that the school was founded in collaboration with Freemasonic lodges. It's all over the place here. And Mao's connections with Yale were openly and obviously Masonic in nature, and that's not hidden information. What we have here is the same group dividing a country into two parts and then using one as a game piece between the East and the West and amping up the differences between them. Building up Taiwan. Now, let me talk about Asia as a whole right now for a moment. Every single region of Asia, that includes Taiwan, South Korea, North Korea, China itself, Singapore, Japan, every single region was carefully, deliberately, and in detail and with great concern to the eventual goals, specifically identified for a different kind of development and a different kind of experimentation, economic and psychological. American forces sailed into Japan because they said, we need Japan to be a major structural foothold in our engagement of China. They chose Taiwan to be, excuse me, a game piece, a shuffling game piece going back and forth between China and the West. They chose South Korea as an area for certain areas of psychological and technological development we don't have time to get into. They chose North Korea, and they said, we're going to use this area to see if we can really control millions of people with a few thousand controllers. They've been enormously successful. And then you got Singapore, which was meant to bring all kinds of banking influences in and powers. And it's all been a smashing success. The Western assault on Asia has been a smashing success. And now you've got Taiwan in this position, which is absolutely absurd. They had all the time in the world to build up and be five times the badass that Israel is. But it never happened. And it's not happened. Because it's all been a setup. The same groups that backed Mao, the same group that backed Chiang Kai-shek, they're all buddies.
Well,
at the end of,
go ahead,
at the end of the, do you think there will be a conflict between China and Taiwan, or is this going to remain a movable piece of the puzzle?
Well, I'll get right to the point and say that I believe that Taiwan has already surrendered.
So the president, what she says is rhetoric and jargon about no peaceful reconciliation coming back together, one China policy. She's obviously bought off too, right?
The current, I wouldn't take the current president of Taiwan any more seriously than I take Joe Biden.
Okay. another question.
And here in Taiwan, those of us who do not feel kindly towards her refer to her as Kong Xin Tsai Ing-wen. And any of your Chinese language listeners will appreciate that joke.
If you don't mind, translate that for the American listeners.
Like to know what it means. I don't understand Chinese either.
Well, her name means vegetable English. Literally.
Vegetable.
Vegetable English.
Okay. Kind of like Mr. Marbles over here in Shuffles. And got it. Okay. Go ahead, Pastor.
Kong Qing Cai Ing Wen refers to a particular vegetable called Kong Qing Cai, which is a green leafy vegetable, very nutritious, which is popular in Asia, but it's empty. It has empty tubules. So it's sort of like saying, brainless twit.
Right.
All right. Well, go ahead, Pastor.
Chris, what's going to happen 3 months, 6 months down the road? What do you see transpiring over there, and how it's going to ultimately affect the entire world?
Well, let me address that from a very personal perspective. And I just need to check. Is my voice coming through clearly?
Everything's fine.
All right, good. Prior to about, 3, when did the withdrawal from Afghanistan happen? Was that 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
Well,
in
August, yep.
August, okay. Prior to that, my expectation had been, and I'm speaking to myself, because some people might be thinking, well, why haven't you left? If you have such a pathetic perspective on Taiwan's readiness, why aren't you, out of there? Well, I have a daughter here. I was married to a Taiwanese woman. We have a daughter. And there's no freaking way I'm leaving this place while my daughter is still alive. I just want to say that first. Secondly, prior to the obviously wickedly, evilly calculated, destructive withdrawal from Afghanistan, every military assessment I had read of the situation between Taiwan and China had said that the U.S. military and other observers would be able to predict a Chinese invasion of Taiwan from 30 to 60 days prior, because we would be able to observe the amassing of troops and all that stuff 30 to 60 days prior. And so my thought was, well, okay, 30 to 60 days prior to a Chinese invasion, we will receive an announcement, a call from, for example, the American Institute in Taiwan, which is the unofficial embassy, saying all Americans are now advised to leave and that they would assist us in leaving. All such hope is gone. The United States is not going to defend Taiwan. There's going to be a show. It's a flashpoint. It's at the point where there's just going to be a show. There'll be a show of fighting back. They've already surrendered. This has all been a setup. Can I make it more plain?
What you're saying is, we're going to see the same thing that happened in Afghanistan happen in Taiwan. The State Department is going to abandon all the Americans and leave them there. China will, in the end, just ultimately seize control over Taiwan.
Yeah, but that's just the beginning. And China has very, very specifically detailed. I'm not saying I'm privy to their specific plans, but I've been looking at this for almost 20 years, and I've been living in Chinese culture for almost 20 years, and I've been looking at the literature and other things they've been putting out for almost 20 years, and I can tell you this: everybody knows, Japan knows, India knows, the Philippines know, Australia knows, when China moves on Taiwan, it's just the beginning. Australia is lost. I was telling my students 10 years ago about the Chinese plans for Australia. Let's just get out of Taiwan for a minute. China looks at Australia and says, "Are you kidding me? You got 7.7 million square miles of land, and you have what? How many people? And you've never developed the interior. You've never irrigated it. You've never expanded. You guys are a joke." And they're going to go on there and just, but they're already bought off. Look at the tyranny happening over there in Australia. If you want to see what Taiwan, I keep saying Taiwan, I'm sorry, what China has planned, look at the behavior of the politicians. Look at what they're doing. There are places like Vietnam. I don't know. My opinion may change on that. But there's the Philippines, other places that are, you know, adamantly like, we don't really want China to rule us. But look at what they're doing. Look at the developments. Look at the medical tyranny. Look at what's going on. The cultural events happening in every country are a marker of how sufficiently, how fully, how effectively China's military plans have penetrated any given nation or culture.
Well, wait a second. Okay, so because I and Pastor, you know, feel free to jump in here, but I don't want to. Okay, so what you're saying is, in short, in summary, number one, Taiwan is a sacrificial lamb to the globalist agenda. They're already lost. They've already surrendered. They're being run by a vegetable, basically. You know, the Chinese joke. But a globalist, they're a pawn in the bigger scheme of things. The Maoist Marxist agenda, which, and you brought this up before, about pitting one segment of a population against the other, it's happening here in the West. So what you're saying is we're seeing the fingerprints of the globalists hitting every country, and this was set in motion many, many, many years and decades ago by the globalist forces known as you term them, the Illuminati. Is that kind of, does that encapsulate what we're talking about here?
I think it's a good basic summary.
Okay, and I don't want to, and Pastor, I don't want to miss any of the finer points, because now how can, and again, how can people, so if I was listening to you, and I'd say, okay, well, how do you know this? And what should we look for? Like, because I'm looking at your notes, and fantastic, but what would this be? I mean, how can people in the West, how can you convince people in the West of what we're seeing here is all theater? The unawakened masses, so to speak. Go ahead.
How could I convince them?
Well, or what are the points that you know based on your experience, based on you living there? You are immersed in that population. You're immersed in that culture. You're immersed in that power structure without getting too deep into your background. You know, so you've got that personal experience, which is so valuable, and that personal insight, which is so valuable. So, you know, what would you say, you know, in the bigger sense here, that what we're seeing take place? Because Pastor asked a question about, well, you know, is there an invasion going to take place? Is this going to be a flashpoint? Is this going to be a, you know, or what, basically what's going to happen? I guess I'm kind of looking at, you know, I don't want to, you know, if I had a crystal ball here,
okay,
or an insight into the future, go ahead.
Okay. Well, look, everything in this situation is complex, obviously. What I personally predict, I shouldn't use the word predict. What I am looking for, what I am expecting, is that there is going to be a major catastrophe of a natural kind sent against the United States, and the La Palma volcano seems to be right now the probable vehicle of choice if and when that, you obviously know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
The Canary Islands.
Sure. Yes. And you know, and Pastor, you know, in conversations, and I think you and I may have touched on this before, but, you know, there's a question whether there's, that situation is being helped by our enemies. And you know, folks, look, there are weapons out there, you know, earthquake type weapons and weapons that we don't even know about that can be used. So yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a directed, managed emergency. The La Palma volcano, as soon as that goes, as soon as that mountain slides into the ocean, sends a huge tsunami, the United States is going to go into turmoil and chaos. China will pounce on Taiwan. Now, there's going to be a response from Japan. There's going to be a response from India. Neither of these countries is going to take this lying down, as they say. They are going to respond, and it's going to be the commencement of World War III. There's no doubting that.
So, Pastor, whether it's, okay, wait a second, because let's not gloss over this. So, Pastor, to answer your question, the flashpoint is, and correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying, the flashpoint is going to occur after a natural or pseudo-natural disaster, being La Palma, and at that point, China will act on Taiwan. Is that kind of your scenario you're laying out?
As per Taiwan, yes. But if we turn our attention to the United States and what's happening in the United States, the reason why China would pounce upon Taiwan would be because the United States is not in a state of readiness, but because it's suffering from too much internal turmoil. What would put the United States into turmoil? Will it be a combination of the onset of civil war and the release of a much fiercer biological weapon than the than this stupid joke of a, I don't want to get into it, virus. No offense to the parties that are targeted by it, but that has been used to institute medical tyranny. They're going to release something that is much greater and more powerful than that. And at the same time, I think that will coincide, this is my personal expectation, with a huge natural disaster. And at that point, the U.S. will be in such turmoil that China's going to say, okay, no, we're taking Taiwan.
And then, well, there's no doubt they're waiting for a pivot point to apply their energies and efforts in that. And it's obviously systematically, there's a stratagem here to break down the military, to break down the yes. fire departments, the police departments, all of those things. I shared a YouTube video several weeks ago, Dark Winter, June the 22nd, June the 23rd of 2020, 2001. There was an operation to see what would happen, and there was an outbreak of smallpox in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Then it broke out in Georgia. Then it broke out in Pennsylvania. And when you read all the documentation there, it was about something very similar to what's happening right now. The states wanted their rights, and the government said, no, we want a consistent voice. We want a consistent message. So everything must come from the federal perspective. And, of course, we're seeing that kind of superimposed over COVID right now. And so I can see, as we are structurally, intentionally being broken down with the disarray in the military, you know, I've been bombarded with people who don't want the vaccine, and they don't want to honor their religious objection. So the whole thing is deteriorating. And then, of course, with the Afghanistan situation, you can see the desire for China to get a pipeline from Iran straight to their back door. It's like all the pieces are being put together for a global conflagration. I reckon I would say the listening audience is like me. Well, what is that flashpoint? I don't see. I could be wrong. You live over there. I don't see South Korea and China sitting there doing nothing. And it's my understanding that Japan does not have nuclear weapons, but it wouldn't take them long to develop them because they have so many nuclear power plants. You maybe can give the people some insight there with Japan and South Korea relative to nuclear weapons.
Well, that's the, you know, I've actually spent a lot of time and research trying to figure out where both Japan and Taiwan are in relation to the presence or the potential presence of nuclear weapons. There's nothing conclusive. This stuff is highly, highly guarded. I mean, does Japan have nuclear weapons? I think it's quite possible.
Well,
I'm sorry, what?
In their surrendering in World War II, we know there was a plan that they were to never industrialize or whatever for military might. But my understanding is they're always on the precipice where they can go in that direction very quickly.
Go ahead, finish.
I don't live there. I don't know the situation as well as somebody like you who's there in the Far East to know how quickly, you know, we have troops to South Korea. I don't know what South Korea has as far as nuclear weapons. I do know from history Japan was to never have been another military might, but through the years they have progressively grown, but yet they keep pulled back enough that it doesn't conflict with the agreement they made after World War II.
Okay. Well, let me say two things. One is we are never going to know to any degree of accuracy or of exposure what any high-level military really has. We just don't know, and they're not going to tell us. We don't know what's really in Japan. We don't know if Taiwan even has nuclear weapons. There could be all kinds of little parts and pieces of the game that we will never know. And we can speculate on it as much as we want, but we're never going to get an answer. Second thing I want to say is Tom Clancy wrote a novel where Japan, in black ops fashion, developed its own cache of nuclear weapons. Now, I say that because Tom Clancy is an important source, or he was, of background military information. Does Japan actually have nuclear weapons hidden somewhere? I think it's possible. I don't know. Does Taiwan have secret submarine bases with nuclear submarines ready to deploy against China? I don't know. We're not going to find out. What I think we need to do here is to pull back, if it's okay with you, and say, who's doing all this?
Well, that's fine. We know it's the New World Order, but they're desirous.
But who are they?
Well, like who are they? Albert Pike predicted 3 world wars, and in the end, the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians would all be fighting themselves. And you know, we're just about to that convergence right now. Right. I mean, look at the hostilities. I've never seen such a time when every nation is so divided in their countries. You look at practically every nation in the world. There is a division. It's just like the Bible. There's a right and there's a wrong, and the whole world is everybody's taking their side. They're taking their posture, their position, and getting ready for what we know is coming. You know, I would be considered on the right, and there are those who would be considered on the left, and the demarcation is becoming very pronounced in every country. And that's why, you know, Dmitry Dudeman prophesied that America would get into a conflict with China over Taiwan. Of course, those prophecies were given in the 80s. So that's been nearly 40 years ago. But one of the prophecies said, when America goes to war with China over Taiwan, Russia would launch a nuclear strike on America. And so, you know, here's the problem. Most ministries and ministers today do not teach and preach judgment on America. There's a rally cry, and I want a rally cry, and I want to see a move of God. I want to see a vast number of souls come into the kingdom of God. But at the rate we're going and what we're tolerating and allowing in our country, I don't see how there can be revival without a great, great element of repentance. We are a wicked people. We are a vile people. In the last 10 years, this thing has become so frayed with transgenderism, same-sex marriage, all the crazy stuff, you know, woke, CRT, all of this asinine. It's not even reasonable anymore. It's so far out there. And the spirit of agitation and the spirit of anxiety is trying to find a lodging place in everyone's heart. And the only way to stop this is to stay in the secret place of the Most High God. And that's not the message. That's not what's being preached. You know, it's a negative world. And the only thing to counter that is a move of God. God's hand is on the throttle of this entire world. He could touch the heart of every national leader. He could touch their governments. But we don't pray. We don't fast. We don't seek God for this. And so the modern-day prophets in America keep saying, restitution, restitution, justice. You'll never have justice without judgment. You go to a court of law and you want justice, there must be a judgment made by the judge against the defendant or the plaintiff, one or the other. And see, today, and I don't mean to be ugly here, but what I'm witnessing is, you know, we're going to turn this thing around. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. All the false prophecies that were uttered. One particular false prophet said Donald Trump would get another term, and then Mike Pence would get two terms. And he took that from Luke chapter 10 regarding the Good Samaritan when he picked up the man left on the road to die, took him to the innkeeper, and gave him 2 pence. Gave him 2 pence and said, when I come again, if I owe you any more, I will repay you. This false prophet said that was a word from God to him. Donald Trump would get 4 more years, and then there would be 8 years of Mike Pence. This is how frayed and skewed it is in the church today. And the church is supposed to be the beacon. The church is supposed to be the light. The church is supposed to have the unmitigated truth, the absolute truth. And my God, there's as much fallacy and falsehood coming out of the mouths of so-called prophets today. It blows my mind. And the Lord has directed me to Jeremiah chapter 5, because something is coming, and because God loves us, those whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And there's going to be a grave chastening come upon this nation. And what we wanted to hear from you was, you know, you live there. You know that culture. You can talk about things we have no concept of. And, you know, the people over here, we want the truth, and you're an avenue of that truth, and we wanted to receive from you the insight, the revelation that's actually taking place. So what I'm hearing today is it's just a matter of time before China will pounce on Taiwan. And then the $64,000 question is, how will Australia, how will Japan, how will South Korea, how will these neighboring countries react to what happens to Taiwan?
You said a lot of things that I wanted to respond to, And first I want to respond to the spiritual issue. Taiwan is 4% Christian.
Wow.
The rest of the population, they're Buddhist, they're Taoist, or they are, agnostic, or just don't have any religion. 4%. That's one thing. So when we talk about the United States and the great, great, great amount of degeneracy, moral turpitude, sinfulness, I think in the United States we are being given what would be the right word? We're being given a live motion camera snapshot of what it was like in the days of Noah. Just this uncontrolled, animal, hungry, devouring wickedness, because that's what it is.
Absolutely.
Creeping into everything, taking it over, co-opting it, just destroying everything. And now I want to just take that aside and say, what is China have slated for Taiwan? What is China have slated for the United States? And I don't just mean China, I also mean their allies. For Taiwan, China wants a walk-in. They want a little show fight. But they don't want to come against Taiwan, for example, with an EMP. They want all, they've been building up the infrastructure in Taiwan over the past 20 years to an incredible degree. I mean, in some ways, this is an amazing country to live in because of what they've done. They've done this fastidiously, and they've done it steadily, and completely, in terms of capability, it's all completely modern. That's what they want for Taiwan. They want to take the island with little or no argument for the United States, because I believe the majority of the population believes in God, gravitates towards Jesus, or else is an active believer. It's destruction. They're going to come against the United States with everything they've got. Same for Australia. I think Australia has always has already been co-opted. They're going to come against Australia with everything they've got, smash it down, kill all the white people, and just populate them. I mean, we could go after country after country after country and say, what's this country? What's its role? What's the cultural compliance level of the population? How willing are they to fight? How ready are they to fight? We could go through all of them. But specifically, again, I gave you the rundown of Taiwan and the United States. Now, there was something else you said, slipping in my mind. You just said it at the last. What was the last thing you said, Pastor Langford? Do you remember?
I was elaborating on the false prophecies, and they're more concerned about the survival of this nation, and rightfully so. But the attitude is not toward repentance and submission to God. It's still an attitude of rebellion, submitting to the authority, and so it's like there's two voices. You know, I'm on the negative side. I'm preaching judgment. I'm preaching hell. I'm preaching damnation, brimstone. The other people, it's going to be a blessing, going to be grace, going to turn this thing around. That cannot happen without an old-fashioned move of God. It never has happened. It never will happen. You have to get it right with God. Nobody repented in the days of Noah. Therefore, God was only able to save his family. Nobody in Sodom and Gomorrah repented, so God was only able to save Lot and his two daughters. He even lost Lot's wife, and we don't even know her name. But we're told, remember Lot's wife. I can't even tell you her name theologically, because we don't know. Just know her as Lot's wife. And so I'm concerned that this war, this slaughter that's coming, and the false prophets have filled the land and won't say anything negative. If you'll watch today's prophets, I don't think they're real prophets. I think they're false prophets, because Jesus said many false prophets would arise and deceive many. How do you deceive people? You tell them blessing. It's going to turn around. It's going to be good. But the truth is, look at what's happening to us. In a year's time, we're paying 60% more in fuel cost. Everything is deteriorating, and yet we keep speaking, I don't, others do, a great turnaround. And I see the hand of God getting ready to slam the world, because he's done it before, and he will do it again. He did it in Noah's day. He did it in Lot's day. And he did it in the Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel's day. They went into captivity. And all of this stuff is right before us. And I do want to believe. Don't nobody misunderstand me, please. I want a move of God. I am praying. I am fasting. I want to see God turn these things around. But God is not going to dishonor his own word. He's going to honor his word. He's bound by his word. And Proverbs 8:36, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. We're bringing this on ourselves. Judgment must have her way. God is so just. He negotiated. Abraham did with Elohim. If there's 50 righteous, will you spare the place? And when he talks about the place, he's talking about a little place, like a concave, a conclave, a small faction of people in a little room somewhere. And God says, if I find 50 righteous, I'll spare everything. Abraham was negotiating for just a small warehouse or a small Dale in the valley, just a little place, and he negotiated all the way down to 10. And God said, if I find 10 righteous, I'll spare the twin cities. And Jude says, the city's about them. But it wasn't there. And what are we told in the 17th chapter of Luke? As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. There was no repentance. Nobody was preaching repentance, that we need to be reconciled back unto God. And so these purported positive prophecies are bothering me. They're disturbing me. Read the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet who pled and begged with Israel to repent. And the flip side was the false prophets. He said they're but bags of wind. That's how God described the prophets in Jeremiah's day, who were contradicting the prophetic words of the true prophet, which was Jeremiah, Hananiah. He said, well, this thing is only going to last 2 years. And Jeremiah said, oh, no, it's going to last 7 years. He said, no, it'll last 2 years. Jeremiah says, not only will it not last 2 years, but 70, you're going to die this same year. And Hananiah fell over dead in the seventh month, which would put it about September, October, somewhere in there of that year. So the point is, these prophets are saying things, and I know this is not popular, going to make me popular, people like me, but I'm not here to be liked. He said they are just like bags of wind. My word is not in them. It's their own vain words, their own vain speeches. I'd rather be preaching what I'm preaching and be wrong than to preach what they're preaching and be wrong. You know, it's like saying, I believe there's a hell. I know that's true. But there'll be those who'll say, no, that's not true. But in the end, they're going to be proven wrong because Jesus talked about hell more than anybody. But this is where we are. And so without a rally cry for our nation, because we're all, in the next little while, are going to be so negatively affected by all of this, I don't believe we understand the gravity, the magnitude of what's going to take place. And the Bible says it's going to be sudden destruction.
Yes.
It's going to be at a time when we're not anticipating, we're not looking, we're not expecting. But he said, sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child. I remember when our first child was born, my wife was hanging wallpapers. As a matter of fact, I'd been out all day on the golf course. I'd been in a revival meeting, and I took the Monday off. And I remember coming in about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and suddenly the labor pains hit her, and we had to get her to the hospital to have the baby. But she was going with her normal life, hanging wallpaper, doing everything, and then suddenly, the travail of childbirth smote her. And we have all these signs, you know, and it's as though people aren't paying attention to the signs. They're deaf, they're blind. They don't want to see. People don't want to see what's really taking place. And you know, this is why you're here today, Chris, is to help us to convey to the people what's actually going on over there, that we can prepare better, get ready. If I were to ask you, what would you do? What would you be doing right now for your daughter, your family? What would you be doing right now with what you know is taking place?
Just before I get to that, I think I would like to say a couple of things, and then we'll get to that. I think we need a lead up to that. You talked about, you wanted to talk to me about the culture of Taiwan because I've been living here for so long. So let me address that. Is that okay?
Sure.
Then after that, I want to address the all right, well let's just start with that. I stated earlier in the show and laid it out that Taiwan is not preparing for war. Right? Why is the culture not protesting that? There's nobody standing up here in Taiwan and saying, hello, government, why aren't you preparing? There's nobody doing that. There's nobody calling for conscription. There's nobody calling for, you know, the reactivation of reserves. There's nobody calling for the formation of neighborhood military defense groups. There's nobody calling for agriculture hyperproduction. It's silent. It's not just the government. It's the people. China's going to walk in. They're going to walk in, and the people are going to say, are you going to feed us? Yes. Can we go about our daily lives? Yes. But you just need to register with our AI-controlled health medical app system and wear this little bracelet and everything will be fine. And they're going to say yes. That's the tone of the culture here.
Right.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. There's the other thing you said. I'm sorry. I'm losing my attention a little. Redirect me to what you just said.
What would you be doing, Chris?
Okay.
What would you be doing as a father, a husband? What would you be doing right now?
Okay. Yes, thank you. There was another thing you said that I wanted to respond to, but I'm sorry, I'm getting a little foggy. I'm not losing my mind, but I lost track of one thing. What I am doing, what I have been doing for years and years and years, is building up. And I'm not going to say how much. I'm not going to say what type. I have supplies. I have a modest income, but I've been putting my income into making sure that my daughter can eat.
Is there any point in time you would leave Taiwan?
I do not have the ability to leave Taiwan in any foreseeable future unless it's by some emergency measure.
But don't you think China would shut that down and not allow... your visa? Or
my expectation, David, is that China's going to come in here and shoot me in the head. That's my expectation.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking at. That's what I expect. They're either going to shoot me in the head or they're going to take me and send me to a work camp. That's my view of my future. Unless the Lord has a different plan for me, and then that will be followed. But, I know what I wanted to say. I'm sorry. I wanted to talk about Christians in Taiwan. It's a wash. I mean, none, or hardly any, or to any effect of the churches in Taiwan put up almost any resistance to anything that's going on. I'm extraordinarily disappointed, in the Christian communities in Taiwan. There was no pushback. Nothing like in the West, where people were saying, I want a religious exemption, don't touch my body, I have personal freedom. Nothing. They're all complying. They're all saying, you can't come to our churches unless you've had the vaccinations. There may be exceptions to that. I don't know of them, but for example, in Taipei and the areas around Taipei, they're all just bowing down and going along.
So what you're telling us, the Taiwanese are fundamentally pacifist. They don't
yes.
want conflict.
They're every single adult male, no matter his occupation, educational level, physical manliness, whatever, that I have asked about guns has said, I'm scared of them. We shouldn't have any circulating in our society. I mean, they're just lost. I mean, you might as well send a 200-pound bully into a kindergarten class, and then that would be trying to come in here. I mean, it's a total joke. And I just wanted to say, from the Christian perspective, from looking at the churches here, the pushback is essentially zero. So,
are there any denominational missionaries in Taiwan, or any independent, I should say, or non-denominational missionaries trying to lead people to Christ?
Well, Christianity has a long established presence in Taiwan, and it's been here for hundreds of years. Missionaries do come over from various denominations of all kinds, including Catholic, Presbyterian, and other Methodist. Lutheran, you know, they're all here.
Well, with a 4%, by your numbers, 4% Christian, it doesn't bode well in terms of a success rate for missionaries then, if 4% of the population are Christians or identify as Christians. Or is there an underground, you know, that are outside of that 4%?
To my knowledge, no.
All right. So we've got missionaries over there, and but what you're saying earlier on, 4%, that's the identify as Christians or lead Christian lives in Taiwan. So 96% of the population, again by your numbers, agnostic.
They're
or
not
Buddhist
my number. They're not my numbers, Doug. Well, these are the numbers.
Yeah,
from the CIA World Factbook.
Okay, yeah, and I'm not. Believe me, I'm not coming from a point of contention. I'm just saying, but what you said, okay, yeah. So, okay, it's not a problem, folks. Hold on, just 1 second. Pastor David Langford, thevoiceofevangelism.com. Got to take a break here. Late for the top of the hour. My apologies to Global Star and others, the affiliates listening. This is the Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. And you're listening to Pastor David Langford, special guest Chris from Taiwan. Folks, before we get back to Chris and Pastor Langford, I want to mention to you, look, folks, you know, as we go through all of these problems here, all of the headlines, all of the world issues, well, we still got to take care of business, don't we? Let me ask you a question. Are your credit card bills, are they keeping you up at night? Are the interest, look, the interest rates, are you, look at your statements. Are they in the double digits? I bet they are. Well, be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. The fine folks at Lightstream partnered with us. Great deal. Rates start right now at 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Plus the rate's fixed. You'll never go up over the life of the loan. Promise. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. You can get your money as soon as the same day as you apply. Try that at a bank. Yeah. This is a fantastic situation for my listeners and viewers. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it for you because it's that important. LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And again, you're tuned into the Hagman Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Audio only. I want to keep the identity of Chris from Taiwan. Again, from the, as I like to call it, kind of from behind enemy lines, giving some insight into what's really taking place. And again, before I get back to Pastor David Langford and Chris from Taiwan, I want to just really quick hit this up here as well. You know, I was talking with a couple of people, good friends of mine yesterday, who are not employed right now, and they are looking for a job. They have a special skill set. Now, look, I know you're saying, look, there's a lot of jobs out there. But these two gentlemen, very, very bright gentlemen, in the prime of their lives, looking for jobs and looking for that special jobs to match their skill set. Now, think about the last time you were unemployed or I was unemployed looking for a job. I remember those times. It was stressful. It took a lot of time to fill out applications and such. And it felt like searching for a job. It felt like a full-time job in and of itself. And, you know, there's a lot of stress behind that. Your eyes burn from staring at job listings, and it takes patience of a saint to fill out every application. And then you wait to hear back, about the jobs, and it's nothing but crickets. Have you been there? Are you there now? Maybe if you are. Look, folks, I've got the answer for you. And again, this is just for listeners and viewers of the Hagman Report. Look, I've got to tell you, ZipRecruiter knows the general experience of looking for a job is pretty doggone sucky. That's my word. Now, that's why they figured out a way to make it unsucky, if that's a word. It is now. When you sign up on ZipRecruiter.com, in fact, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman, you can create a free profile, and then you get matched to great jobs. plus a lot more. ZipRecruiter will proactively pitch your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience. Again, my friends did this yesterday, and I'm telling you right now, earlier today, I heard from one of the two, and he said, you know what? I got some prospects. So be like, help yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com. By the way, candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. In my experience, it's a lot quicker. Here it is. Here's the deal. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com/easy. It's just that easy. Do it today and experience a better way to find a job. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com/easy right now to sign up absolutely free and put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Now, earlier I said ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. You might want to mention Hagman just because that's where you heard it. But ZipRecruiter.com/easy. You got that? ZipRecruiter.com/easy. Experience a better way to find a job. And I want to thank the fine friends at ZipRecruiter for helping us out personally, helping my friends out personally. And you know what? It's a great, great tool for employers as well. ZipRecruiter.com/easy. All right. Again, you're listening to Pastor David Langford, thevoiceofevangelism.com, and Chris from Taiwan. Links in the program description box. Visit Pastor Langford's website and be sure to listen to Pastor Langford. And Pastor Langford, by the way, is on Christian television. Christian television station, right? Christian television network you're on?
Yeah, we're on the Christian television network. We're on Dish and Direct Television, channel 376, Tuesday nights at 10 p.m., Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. That God opened up a door miraculously. So we're trusting God to help us pay the expenses because they are somewhat rather costly to be on television. Of course, that's the highest time spot, but they had already given me some free time on Sunday mornings because they wanted to fill it with something, and they chose us to use that. But people are responding, and I'm saying the same things on television I'm saying here. We do post those TV programs the week after they're aired on CTN, and God is obviously stirring a lot of people. That's my heart. We've got to start preaching, teaching, and advocating repentance. Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. We have got to believe what God's word has declared. And we can't keep going down this path and not ultimately be punished. You know, my wife and I raised four children, and there were times they needed punishment. They needed correction. And that's one of the prophetic words that God gave Israel there in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 3. He said, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They've made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. And so I was reminiscing the other day, you know, 20 years ago, this past September the 11th, how for 6 months, people ran back to church. They responded for a while because of the grief. He says there in Jeremiah 5:3, that they have not grieved. No, we haven't repented. We've suffered. We refuse to receive correction. And we're worse now than we were 20 years ago. And my concern is the hand of God is heavy, and the hand of God is going to fall all over the world, not only in America, but all over the world because of sin and wickedness. We forget, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. Forget the giants. That's an irrelevant, moot point. But what was it? Wickedness. Man's mind was on evil continually, and God brought judgment. It has to come. I don't want to see it come. I never, Doug, you know this, you never wanted to have to pull the belt off and wear your children out, but if you don't do that, they'll become wild. They become uncontrollable. And as a nation, that's what we are right now. You know, I was listening to some of the news pundits, and they were showing video clips of, you know, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi in 2009, 2010, were all against all these illegal immigrants coming over the border in Mexico. Now they've opened up the door. You know, Glenn Beck said he's wanting to go to Mexico for some reason, but he's been told for him to get back into the United States, he's got to be vaccinated. Yet they're letting tens of thousands come into the country not vaccinated. This is an attempt to destroy America. And we got to stand up, folks. And I respect every person that has not taken the jab. I respect every military person. You have held your convictions. God will reward you. And I was listening to the promo there, Doug, about ZipRecruiter, and that there's somebody, folks, out there that wants you as an employee. There's a business, there's somebody who they want God to meet their need, and God wants to meet your need. And this is why we've got to pray that God will make the connection, because you know, Christian people are honest people. They're loyal people. They don't cheat and lie and plunder your business. They work hard for your business. And we've got to pray that God will connect the dots. This is why prayer right now is so important. I've never sensed such a need to pray in my over 40 years of ministry. There's such a need to be praying every day, not just a day here and a day there, but everyone needs to be praying every day, crying out to God, God, help us. And I know God's going to help us, but there's going to be so many that God's not going to help, because God is not obligated to the wicked or the sinful or the unrighteous. He's obligated to those who are his, and he's going to feed us, and he's going to house us, he's going to clothe us. But to the wicked, it's not going to happen. They're going to suffer. And here's another thing, and we'll give it back to Chris in closing. These leaders who've been bought off, they've sold out, are going to be the first to suffer the judgment of God, because they are the ones that have brought this judgment on us. They're the ones that have compromised and brought this evil upon us. That was the words of Daniel 9, verse 12. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil, for under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. And Daniel, he says, our judges, meaning Supreme Court, federal judges, civil, whatever, these judges are corrupt. Now, there's a handful of good ones, but the majority have been bribed and bought off. And Daniel says, we are in captivity because of our judges that have overseen our nation in judicial matters, have been bought off, been corrupted, and that's why there's such injustice in our nation. So, Chris, you got a couple minutes here. Go ahead and share in closing what you feel you need to convey to the people of God.
Do we lose them? And by the way, the program clock is off a little bit, folks. Pastor.
I'm here.
Okay. All right. To you, Chris. Did you hear Pastor his?
Of course.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
How much time do I actually have? Because I wanted to make 4 points. I don't think I could do it in 2 minutes.
No. You've got plenty of time. You've got about 15 minutes or so, roughly. Go ahead. Okay.
So let me just hit 4 points. First, again, to Pastor Langford's question, what have I been doing? I want to give the listeners something firm to look for and to do. Several years ago, going on almost 10 years ago, I came across a plan to develop a 1 year supply of food for a family of four, which could last for a year. I followed through on that plan. I got all the things together. I added some things to it, and I built that supply. It could probably last 3 years, the way I put it together. And it cost me less than $500. Go out there, in the search engine, put in 1 year supply, family of four, you'll find the plan. If you can, you know, I know things are happening now, things are being cut off, but if you can, get all those pieces, put them together, prepare to feed your family. Okay. I have water filters. I have the food. That I've done other things too, like stockpiling, medical type stuff. You know, I have a very, very modest income, but you can do it. You just got to go out, focus, get the pieces, put them together. You can do it, and you need to do it. The second thing I want to say is, Doug, and Pastor Langford, I believe I sent it to you, Pastor Langford. I know I sent it to Eric and also to Doug, was going back to the question of where Taiwan stands in this whole picture. Taiwan is openly in full compliance with Agenda 2030. Doug, did you see that?
Yes.
In the document?
Yeah, and I don't think that's really a secret. Yes, absolutely. So they're complicit in the globalist agenda. Taiwan, the Taiwanese government is complicit in the globalist agenda.
1,000%.
Right.
In fact, one of the things that I was searching so relentlessly to find in my photo files, which I couldn't find, it's there, I couldn't find it, was a photograph that I took of a billboard in one of the subway stations in Taipei, which declared openly, we are in full compliance with United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and Agenda 2030. Okay, so people need to understand, this place is already gone. You can look into that, go on, you can do a search and say Taiwan SDG, that's Sustainable Development, excuse me, UN SDG, United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, Agenda 2030. You'll find all the documentation. They are in with it. They want to be part of it. They're down with it. They love it. That's where they're going. Okay. Now, the third thing that I want to say is people need to understand the harsh reality that's coming down on them. And it's going to come down like a hammer, like Pastor Langford just said. It's coming down. It's going to come down hard, fast, like a hammer. You're not looking for it. It's going to come down on you anyway. And with your permission, Doug, I would like to read a few excerpts from the speech that I also forwarded to you, which is famous. People who are paying attention know about it, but many of your readers, your listeners may not have heard of it. It was a, quote, secret speech given by Chi Haotian, the defense minister in China. Did you see that, Doug?
Yes.
Or do you know?
Yes. But for the benefit of the listeners and viewers, go ahead and just if you give an overview of that, please.
Well, basically, he lays out in it the philosophy and methodology that they are adopting in terms of warfare. And he says, we need to have a military that's willing to go out and just kill everybody. Especially everyone who is not Chinese. He lays out their racial doctrine, which is we are far superior to the Germans, and we are going to hyperbolically follow their philosophy, but we're gonna amp it up so far that we're just gonna go out and kill anyone who's not Chinese. We're going to kill women, children, everybody that we don't need. All right. Now I can give
so,
you.
So and let me just interject this. So I get that. I find it very interesting. And Pastor, you know, you and I have spoken about this before in broad strokes, but when you look at the Black Lives Matter or even the critical race theory, if you speak against critical race theory, you're a domestic terrorist by the FBI, by the U.S. Department of Justice. So that is, the critical race theory is a Maoist Marxist doctrine here in America. Now take that and superimpose that template over there, and you've got the same, essentially the same mechanism or the same kind of thing you're seeing over here in the West, specifically in America. So what you're saying is anyone who's not Chinese, anyone who doesn't share the same ideology, you got to get rid of them by any means necessary with prejudice. So that's what you're saying, right? And we're seeing that over here too.
And in this speech that he gave, the justification for this is that they have wholly embraced the idea of biological evolution, and they assert unashamedly that the Chinese race evolved completely separately from any Western race or any other race, and that therefore, being that much superior in their separate evolution, they have every right to claim the world for their own. This is one of the philosophical foundational principles of their military doctrine. The rest is just logistics.
Understood. Okay.
Good. Now, is there anything that's been left hanging that I haven't addressed? There's so much we could talk about. Doug, I really, really want, if it's possible at some future point, to talk about who's actually at the top.
Well, name them. Go ahead, name it right now. Who's at the top? We've got about 7 minutes. Who's at the top of this? Who do we point the finger at? Who do we say, hey, wait a minute, it's that person and that person or those people or this entity, this government, this non-elected swamp?
Sure.
Yes. Go ahead.
The people who are at the top are people that we don't see. The people that we never see their photos, we never hear their names. They have wealth so great that they don't even think about numbers.
All right, well, who are they? If I sound like I got a tone, I don't have a tone. I'm just saying, because we all, and this is, I get emails. Well, you talk about the globalists, you talk about these people in power. Who are they? I mean, we need to identify these people, because if we're going to fight, we need to know who we're fighting, obviously, in the physical sense, as opposed to the spiritual. But go ahead. Who are they?
Okay. Well, at the risk of coming off as a totally insane retard, I call them the breakaways. And other people have used this term, and I have personal experience with them. But they are a group that has a long history going back thousands of years. I just think this is where we need to go. I don't think it can be done here in 5 minutes.
Well, you can name names. I mean, you can say, all right, it is, and I'm using this as an example, Bill Gates, for example, or, Joe Biden, or, AOC. I mean, whoever, or in the global scheme of things, or David Rockefeller, or I don't even know if he's alive, but you know what I'm saying. So who's mapping this out in the physical? Who's doing this in the physical?
Well, that's an actually very interesting question, because the ones who are doing this don't see a distinction between the physical and the spiritual.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to identify, because we have to know who has declared war on us. So who has declared war on us? I know the satanic cabal, but who makes up that satanic cabal?
Well, again, there are people whose faces we don't see and names we don't know. Now, I would like to quantify that, and I would like to substantiate that, but I can't do it in 5 seconds. But what I'm trying to say is that what you're looking at across the board is all trickle-down theater. It's all trickle-down theater. It's like it's easy to make this kind of claim that there's some amorphous group out there that you can't name, you can't point to. But unfortunately, I'm sorry to tell you, that is in fact the case.
So we don't know who they are, or we are unwilling to identify them. And again, I'm asking from an investigative standpoint, and you know,
of course.
So
what I'm saying, Doug, is that this is a conversation I would like to have.
Okay, let's have it. Well, I mean, I'm please, I'm not trying to. I'm just saying, okay, if we were talking about this, we have to know the architects, right? If war is declared on us, we have to know who declared war on us, and who are they? Who are they?
Well, I think that we would have to build up. First of all, I would have to tell you what I know and why I know it and how I know it, and then we would have to build on that. I want to put it in here because this is the issue. They are a people, a group, who are thoroughly Luciferian in ways that I can describe to you from personal interaction with them.
All right. So
that's not going to be done. And I know it must be absolutely obnoxious to you for me to be throwing out these, like, you know, ridiculous claims with no substantiation. But I just wanted to put it in there before we close out so that maybe we can actually address this in a future conversation. Because they're the ones doing things behind the scenes. Now, I do want to tell you everything I've seen,
okay,
everything
so
I know.
You've personally interacted with these people. Can you tell me a name? Can you tell me an agency of a government? Can you tell me an NGO? Is it the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission? Or yes, all of them, or none of them? Is it the people from Yale? Is it George W. Bush? Is it who? I guess that's my question. You know, I'm just asking that question. Who?
Doug, I keep saying this. There's people, these are people whose faces we never see and their names we never hear.
But you know them, right?
I was never given any names.
But you interacted with them, you said.
I did.
So you know their faces, but you don't know their names?
I don't know their faces. I don't know their names. I was in a specific program. That's why I came to Taiwan.
Okay.
And this is like, I didn't mean for this to be a huge curveball. I just meant it to be as a general comment. Like, there are people that we don't see. They deliberately conceal themselves. They don't announce themselves. They have no interest in the cattle having any idea in who they are, where they are, what they do. They are only interested in following. They're directly in contact with the highest levels of principalities and dark forces, meaning Lucifer and his fallen angel consorts and everybody under them. That's who they are. They have no interest in revealing themselves. So I can't give you faces and names. And everything you see in politics and all economics and all of this other stuff, it's all a trickle down. Right. What we see going on in terms of sexual depravity infecting our societies is a trickle down from what they have done in their own enclosed separate society. And they're drawing it down into ours.
Okay. Now we are at the close to the end of the program. Pastor, you got the last minute and a half. Go ahead.
Well, let me say, Doug, thank you for allowing us to come on today and to share this. And I do want to encourage people with all sincerity and gravity of heart, you've got to pick up your prayer life. I can't overly emphasize that enough. Because there is something coming down the pike. I think it'll be something that we're probably not anticipating what we're looking for. And I think wisdom teaches us right now to prepare the best you can, think out of the box, because obviously there's shortages of everything. The other day I went to get grass seed, didn't get any. Went to get fertilizer, can't find any. Start thinking out of the box what you...
Pastor, thank you very much. I apologize. I was so excited back there to have both of you on. I didn't look at the clock. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Chris from Taiwan. I apologize for the abrupt ending. We have reached the end of the program. May God bless each and every one of you. Remember, Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com, in the program description box. Have a good night.